This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The black hole image may indeed be so profound as to alter humanity's relationship with the cosmos, but not all of humanity. In a world where everything is politicized, there is nothing too empirical to be doubted, like crowd size or mass murder or the solar system.
I'm going to zoom in on the Earth in Photoshop, and I'm going to bring the levels up. Uh-oh. Why is there a square box around the Earth, allegedly taken from the scientists on the moon in Apollo 17? And people wonder why I don't trust NASA. These guys are liars.
That clip, taken from a video called True World, is one of thousands detailing the flat Earth conspiracy theory, the belief that somehow, for some reason, NASA and other institutions have orchestrated a big lie of epic proportions.
I don't acknowledge that other planets are planets. We don't live on a planet. We live on a plane. What we see in the sky are just little lights.
Try to compare it to the Truman Show.
You know, the Truman Show was just a giant Hollywood stage 20 miles wide. If you built a stage that was 1,000 miles wide, how many people could you fool besides just Truman?
Once an utterly fringe belief, the flat Earth theory is now a fringe belief inflated by media exposure, even the exposure from those saying how idiotic it is. For instance, this news flash from Bill Nye, the science guy.
Is the Earth flat or round? It's round, okay?
More problematic, though, is the work of YouTube star Logan Paul, who has racked up 19 million subscribers and millions of dollars, contriving to generate clicks. Now he's taking on the Flat Earthers in a mockumentary called Flat Earth to the Edge and Back, for which he pretended to be one of them in order, he says, to satirize their beliefs.
I'm not ashamed to say my name is Logan Paul, and I think I'm coming out of the Flat Earth closet.
It's not only a journey into the obvious, it turns out to be pumping oxygen into the very conspiracy filter bubbles he purports to want to burst, which maybe was the plan all along. Madison Malone Kircher has reported on Paul's tumultuous career for New York Magazine, and she joins us now. Madison, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tell me the story of this satirical documentary.
Sure. So it was shot a year ago at a major Flat Earth convention in Denver. Logan Paul signs up to attend. The man running the convention notices Logan's name on the list.
When I looked at the name, I said, wait a minute, I think I recognize this name. And it seemed like someone was on a journey. He had been looking into this. He was open-minded. He was willing to put his name out there and say, hey, man, I want to come. I want to learn.
And coordinates with Logan and gets him to give a keynote speech, which is sort of the center of this documentary. The plot of it rotates around Logan's love life. He meets a woman at the conference who is a flat earther.
The only reason people like to think that it's round is because like the shape of your eye is round. And say that it's straight.
And falls madly in love with her, and their love couldn't possibly blossom if he also did not fully believe this.
He's smitten.
He's smitten as hell, dude. He really is, dude.
By the end of the film, he discovers that the friend who initially told him about flat earth conspiracy theories no longer believes them. They have a drag-out brawl in a parking lot. It is totally ridiculous. It comes completely off the rails. And one thing is totally clear. Logan Paul, not a flat earther.
Okay. Now, it's sort of a Sacha Baron Cohen-esque approach, minus the genius. He infiltrates these people in order to ridicule them, mainly for an audience of 19 million teenagers. This is where I gather the law of unintended consequences might kick in.
We got this documentary that normalizes this flat earth hoax to a very broad audience. You know, those 18, 19 million subscribers of his that are teenagers. Those are just the people who want to be updated every time that Paul posts a video. That doesn't account for the millions of other people out there who will now stumble across this mockumentary through YouTube's algorithm.
Is Paul trading here on the very lunacy he purports to debunk? I mean, was that his business plan?
Absolutely. Logan Paul does nothing with unintended consequences. His most infamous act to date was vlogging an apparent suicide victim he found hanging in a forest in Japan.
Social media star Logan Paul apologized this week for posting a video to YouTube showing the body of an apparent suicide victim.
And he made it sound as though that was something he felt he just had to do because he stumbled across this video and he didn't think better of it. That's, you know, to my mind, absolutely untrue. He knew what he was doing. He knew what that headline would mean for his clicks, and he did it anyway. And that's exactly what we're seeing again with this Flat Earth documentary.
If I weren't already skeptical about his motives, here he comes this week on his podcast.
It's going to be good.
I like it. Very good vibe here.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Very nice.
What you expected?
I don't know what to expect. I mean, I just know that you guys are super popular. Been hearing about you for years, and I've seen how
he's got Alex Jones for 2 hours. Did Paul call him a liar? Did he call him a menace? Did he hold his feet to the fire? Was there anything about this that shed light on Alex Jones, Alex Jonesness?
It's interesting because the first 15 minutes of this 2-hour video with Logan Paul and his two co-hosts and Alex Jones, it really does seem like they're going to put in a good faith effort to hold Alex Jones accountable, to ask him tough questions, to try and have a logical conversation with him.
And because we've been lied to about WMDs, we've been lied to about so many things, people just get to where they have to question everything.
I agree, question everything, but at what point are you questioning everything and not accepting fact? You've alluded to it in the past, especially with the Sandy Hook thing.
Oh, there's no doubt. Absolutely.
Alex Jones says something about how the majority of people online were spewing the same sorts of hoaxes about the Sandy Hook shooting that he was. And Logan Paul says something to the effect of, you know, I'm online just like you are. I don't think it was the majority of people, Alex. I think it was just the loudest people. And in that moment, it seems like, okay, these guys did their homework. They knew what they were getting into. But it quickly devolves.
The chemtrails, the human-animal hybrids they admit are going on, the fact that cancer rates are up 3,000+%, the fact that autism is up 30+,000%, the fact that all this real crap's going on, man.
Once they get onto the Sandy Hook topic, Logan Paul basically says, you know, Alex, I just want you to know for the rest of this piece going forward, I forgive you and I believe you deserve a second chance to speak your mind. And this is a man who has had chance after chance after chance, platform after platform, one by one removing him and still continued to peddle lies about dead first graders. This is not somebody who needs to be absolved in front of millions on the internet.
Which gets back to this question of social media, whatever its intents, as a spreader of poison. But I guess we should observe that long before YouTube, the cable TV channels and premium services also did and still do a land office business in shows about cults and conspiracy theories and other wackadoodlery. There has never been a lot of hand-wringing about that stuff, making entertainment out of dangerous ideas. In focusing on the likes of Logan Paul and YouTube, am I guilty of the "you kids get off of my lawn" thinking, and you know, just because it's a newfangled medium?
You are and you aren't, right? When you think about, you know, a Nightline special about a cult you might have watched sort of voraciously a decade ago, and I still might watch voraciously now, frankly. You finish watching that cult special, you go to bed, you think about it, maybe you read another newspaper article about it. You watch a cult YouTube video, you know, you're going to be served 6 more YouTube videos. You're going to find blogs. You're going to find tweets. You're going to wind up on 4chan threads. It just, there's an unending trough from which you can feed if you're interested. And that's the shift we've seen.
Now, YouTube claims it's beginning to address this problem, to demote conspiracy content in its recommendation algorithm. Can you see this actually happening?
Yes and no. So today I was really interested when I woke up. Logan Paul dropped this video last night, and this morning I woke up and I immediately checked the YouTube trending page, and I was surprised not to see it there, given that we had two very contentious big social media players teaming up for this podcast. And obviously, I can't speak to that on the record, but to my mind, that's an indication that YouTube has decided we will not be promoting this. You know, Logan Paul's viral videos, they usually wind up on the trending page. But more broadly, it's rolling out slowly and it's not completely effective yet. A recent BuzzFeed study found that if you watch a nonpartisan political video, it takes maybe a half a dozen clicks before you are headed off into complete extremist land based solely on what YouTube recommends you watch.
Is this a problem that can be solved?
When we see places like YouTube making these big announcements that they're going to change and they're going to tweak their algorithms and they will no longer be recommending misinformation and content, they're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. YouTube's executives didn't wake up one morning and think, yeah, we've made enough money, so I guess now we try and do the right thing. Enough average people, watchers, viewers, people at home have started to piece together the potential dangers. You know, obviously there are a lot of benefits to the spread of information on YouTube and the scope and the pace at which it happens, but people are waking up to the potential dangers of that. I think the recent vaccine scares we're seeing across the country are a great example of this. That is what's moving the needle for YouTube. It's becoming fiscally untenable for them not to make these changes.
When there's money to be made by feeding people's worst impulses, is the solution ever on the horizon?
I mean, does the horizon even really exist? If I walk towards it, don't I just fall off or walk into a wall of ice? I think that's what the flat earthers think.
Touché. But now you have to answer my question.
I fell off the face of the flat earth. I'm falling. I think it's just a 21st century version of the convergence of culture and capitalism we've seen forever. And I can only hope that people watching these videos at home are smart enough to ask the right questions and not questions about the shape of the planet.
Madison, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Madison Malone-Kircher is a reporter with New York Magazine.